I want to take a break from the podcast right now, and I want to give you a gift. And I want to do that to thank you for being a listener. I put my heart and soul into this podcast. I love interviewing today's experts, researchers, MDs, psychologists, sleep trainers, you name it. I hope you feel inspired to take care of yourselves and your families. And I just want to thank you for being a listener and hanging out with me. So the code PODCAST10 is going to give you a one-time $10 off code at kellylevesque.com, your next order of protein powder. You can either use that on my grass-fed beef isolate protein or on my new vegan chocho bean protein. Now, here's what I love about my protein powders. It's 3 ingredients or less. So we don't use fillers, emulsifiers, no fortified vitamins or minerals. It's easy to digest and naturally made without any enzymes or chemicals like hexane. So it's 3 ingredients. With my grass-fed beef isolate, that's 100% grass-fed beef, and it's made in the way that you would make bone broth. So just heat and water. And we dehydrate that end product to get that collagen-rich protein powder that your whole family can drink. It can be added to coffees, to smoothies, and you can get it in vanilla, chocolate, and unflavored. I want to point out that my vanilla and chocolate is made with organic vanilla bean, organic cacao, and the only sweetener used is organic monk fruit. We don't use any maltodextrin. Our monk fruit is 100% ground monk fruit, and it's organic. And with my vegan line, I'm so excited to have launched this and to have it out into the world. It's a regenerative bean from South America called the chocho bean. And the chocho bean is the most superior plant-based protein powder you can get your hands on, because not only is it a complete protein, but the process is made with heat and water only. They're crushed and soaked, and what that end product results in is an anti-nutrient-free protein powder. So you're not gonna have any lectins, phytates, or oxalates in your protein powder. Makes it super easy to digest, and it's really, really delicious and robust in cooking as well. So I love it if I want a thicker smoothie or a smoothie bowl. And I also love it in my baked goods, from my cookies to my muffins, pancakes, and breads. It's the perfect protein addition. So if you want to give either of these proteins a try, or you've already been purchasing these proteins and want to take advantage of this special deal, the code PODCAST10 is going to get you $10 off for being a listener here at the Be Well by Kelly podcast. So head to kellylevesque.com or bewellbykelly.com. Put the protein you'd like to purchase in your cart and use the code PODCAST10 for $10 off. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in.
I mean, there's just a level of options that occur in your life because you have margin with your money. And it's the simple idea of just saying, okay, you know, I can still have nice stuff. I can still drive a great car, and I still want to be able to, you know, enjoy and go shopping or travel, all of this, but I'm going to do it not at the expense of leveraging this whole industry of debt and all of these banks. I'm going to do it on my own terms.
Rachel Cruze is the number one New York Times bestselling author, a financial expert, and the host of The Rachel Cruze Show. Growing up as Dave Ramsey's daughter, Rachel hated budgeting for years until she experienced the freedom of budgeting for herself. Rachel now shares fun, practical ways to take control of your money and create a life you love. She hosts The Rachel Cruze Show and is the author of multiple books, including her newest release, Know Yourself, Know Your Money. This is a podcast you don't want to miss. Get out a pen and paper and get ready to change your life financially. All right, Rachel, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you today.
I know. Thanks for having me on. I so appreciate it.
I know, we were talking before the show, and it's funny how social media works. I'm like, I don't know actually how I found you. And then now you're like one of those people that if I see you on Instagram doing a reel, I'm like, her voiceovers are so funny, but also she's giving some really serious tips around how to save money, budget for your family, take it seriously. So you're making financial wellness approachable, and it's really fun to follow along. So everyone listening, I definitely recommend going to Rachel's Instagram. I'll put all the links in the show notes, but let's start from the beginning. How did you get into this?
I know. Yeah, it's a little bit of a unique story, I guess. So my dad is Dave Ramsey, who's like a financial guy.
He's a guru.
Some people know, some people don't, yes. But he does, yeah, personal finance. So his career really started actually the year I was born, because they filed for bankruptcy in September of the year I was born. I was born in April. So I was 6 months old. They filed for bankruptcy, hit the bottom of life basically, and thought, oh my gosh, like, what are we going to do? So he really kind of started to figure out, okay, how does money really work? And so out of that story really came Ramsey Solutions, what we have now of everything of teaching people how to handle their money. And so I grew up in that household. I mean, in a true entrepreneur's household from the very beginning. And I always laugh because I'm like, we were the first shipping department. The kids were, we'd be in the living room and the books would be out and we'd have to stuff the envelopes and all of it. So yeah, in high school, I started actually traveling and speaking with him when I was 15. And back then you'd do these massive events, right? I feel like events have changed. The event space has changed a whole lot in, you know, 25 years. But I started speaking and I realized, you know, early on that I enjoyed that. I couldn't really pinpoint that I would do that for my career. But I remember thinking at, you know, 15 years old, I was like, oh, this is fun. And then when I went to college is when I realized really the need for this message, because I had my own peers, you know, signing up for student loans and credit cards. And if money was ever brought up, they, you know, had questions or, you know, and I was just realizing in conversation that I was really given this gift of growing up in a household where money was talked about. The truth about money was talked about, everything from gratitude and contentment to saving and spending and investing. I mean, the whole gamut, how to avoid debt, everything. And so I thought, okay, I could do this. I could use the thing that I love to do, which is speaking, and I could start talking to my generation. So right when I graduated from college, I remember I graduated on it was a Saturday afternoon in Knoxville, Tennessee. I went to the University of Tennessee. And that next Wednesday, it was like 4 days later, I was on a plane to my first event, you know, for free. You know, no one knew who I was. It was in the middle of Nebraska or something. But yeah, so that was almost 13 years ago. So I've been doing this ever since then. So now it's, you know, I have my own podcast and show and books and write blogs, do media, all of it. Just really helping people say, hey, here's how you can control your money versus your money controlling you. Because money is a very shameful and a very heavy topic for a lot of people. There's a lot of guilt and a lot of regret around this topic. And so really freeing people from that and saying, hey, let's dig ourselves out and get ourselves on a solid financial foundation to enjoy life. And so, yeah, hopefully everything from Instagram, my tips and tricks there to the podcast, all of it. Yeah. So yeah, that's the whole story. Sorry, that's probably a little long-winded, but
no, it's amazing. I mean, I can't imagine speaking in front of an audience when you're 15 years old. Obviously, these are probably like speaking engagements that your dad is hosting and doing. What was your role and what were you speaking about at that age?
Yes. So they had these, you know, I think they were like 5-hour long events and it would be in these arenas. So there was, you know, anywhere from 8,000 to 12,000 people, depending on the city. And so they had different breaks throughout the event, obviously for people to like, you know, go get lunch, whatever. So before each of the breaks, I had like a 5-minute little spiel. So we have kids products. So we have like chore charts and kids books and that kind of thing. So like one of them, I went out and I kind of pitched the kids product and said, hey, as a Ramsey kid, here's how we use this in our house growing up as a parent. Yeah. And then I got and then he gave me a commission. So I got a cut of however many kids' books I sold in the back book tables at the event. So it kind of ended up being my job really through high school. So depending on how well, you know, you learn how to sell, you're like, okay, how do I do this? And I really want people to have it. Cause as a kid, I thought, you know, every kid in this arena that's represented in this arena needs to learn this at a young age. So my heart really was behind it, you know, even that young, which is kind of crazy to say, but
isn't it? And
that was probably terrible, Kelly. Let's be honest. I was probably terrible. I don't even want to look at footage.
These are life skills. Like, I just think it's so amazing when children grow up. I mean, I feel lucky enough to have grown up in an entrepreneurial home as well. My dad owned a towing company. And I remember my sisters and I would have to be in the office dispatching drivers to like the freeway off ramp or like a high school where a kid locked his keys in the car, you know, to have that experience. It's not standing in front of 8,000 to 12,000 people speaking, but like just thinking about those life skills that so many children are deprived of nowadays because they're just online and everything, dinner's ready, we're putting it on the table, people are cleaning their homes, like they, whatever it may be, not understanding money, not knowing how to earn it. I mean, I love seeing kids with a lemonade stand because I'm like, yes, I can donate a dollar to this. Like that, you are learning something that is so profound at such a young age. I'm curious, like obviously growing up with Dave Ramsey as your dad, you're doing chores, you're speaking in front of 8,000 to 12,000 people, you're getting a commission on book sales. Let's talk a little bit about the ways that you learned about money in your house and the ways that the tools and tips that you talk about in these kids' books.
Yes. Well, I'm really thankful because I think people hear, oh, Dave Ramsey's your dad. So you must have had like mutual fund birthday parties and budget camps every summer, you know, this like very legalistic environment is what people picture.
Right.
And my, I mean, it was the complete opposite, Kelly. Mom and dad just did such a great job teaching us specifically about money, really in the ebb and flow of life. So it was in random conversations. It was at the grocery store. Yeah, we were never given an allowance as kids. We were always on commission. So from 5 years old, we had chore charts and it was like, here's what you do. And if you want money, you got to work. Money comes from work. Money doesn't just come from mom and dad's back pocket. And even when we were teenagers, when we turned 15, we got our own checking accounts. It was one of our Christmas gifts as a Ramsey family when you turn 15. And so they did put a small amount of money in every month, but we were never allowed to ask for money. So this amount of money had to get us through the whole month with going out, you know, to when we used to go to the mall, you know, when you go to the movies, you do all of that as a kid. And if we wanted money above that, we had to work. And mom and dad, I swear, they took the amount of money that would have normally supported a teenager and they cut it in half just to make us have jobs. So yeah, we worked all through high school. You know, I babysat, I did the speaking stuff on the weekends. And yeah, so it was really, you know, this idea that, again, the work aspect, I think, was so crucial because learning that connection between work and money early was big. And then once we were paid for that every week, we had to give first. So we had three envelopes. And so one was for give, one was for save, and one was for spend. And again, they weren't legalistic really on what how much money went into each category. A lot of parents ask me that. As an adult now, I think 10% is a great baseline for giving. I think savings depends completely on your goals and where you're at. And then spending obviously is your expenses and everything else. But as a kid, you know, they were like, hey, you have to just do all three. That's the only requirement. And you can choose and pick, you know, what you want to do. So they were really, yeah, they kind of just let us make mistakes and all of that, which again was what I will always encourage parents is I'm like, if you're legalistic about it and it's this very unauthentic way of approaching, and this could be about anything in parenting, right? I mean, this is about your nutrition. I mean, this could be about politics, sex, money. I mean, anything as a parent that you're teaching your kids, I think one of the gifts is just being as real and authentic as a parent as possible with your kids and showing them this is real life. I'm going to bring you in and see real life. And so, and also Kelly, I have so many memories of even them saying to us, you know, we want this, but we don't have the money for it. So we can't do it. But mom and dad, like I remember we drove an Astro van back in the 90s. We had a blue Astro van. And I remember my mom being like, oh, I want a Suburban. I remember her telling us that. And she's like, I mean, we can't afford it. I'm not getting one, but I want a Suburban. And I remember that sticking with me and knowing how my parents want things, but they're choosing not to, because they don't have the money for it. And they really are living out what they're telling us. And so that's another big thing is more is caught than taught. So with money, your kids are watching you. They're watching if you get stressed and you want to go and you go shopping. They watch you if there's fighting in the household and tension around money, which there probably is. Everyone fights about money. That is part of the world. But how you do that, I mean, they're watching that. They're watching if you're generous. And you're a giver, you know, all of that is such a crucial part is the example too with parents and mom and dad. They were not perfect by any means, but they truly do still to this day live out, you know, what we teach. And that makes a huge impact on a kid.
They led by example and they live within their means, which I think is a really important thing nowadays, especially with social media and all the like snazzy things that can catch our attention. A new purse, a new pair of shoes. Like if you're in MySpace, you're like, ooh, a fancy air fryer, a Vitamix blender, you know? And like, when do you need a new thing? And like where, so when it comes to the giving, the saving and the spending, it's obviously going to depend on everyone's family, their values, what, you know, what's important to them. How do we even begin with someone to set a budget and to determine what percentages for our family are going into each of those buckets and what is worth the spend?
Yes, great question. So the budget, I think, is one of the biggest mistakes people make with money when they don't do one. So I mean, I think this is one of the most crucial things you can do. And the hard thing is the budget, it's gotten a bad rap because I personally, I'm a natural spender more than a saver. I'm naturally more of a free spirit. I'm not as detailed. And so a budget for me always was difficult to really kind of say, okay, I have to make this part of my rhythm of life, because it does. When you're intentional with, you know, whether you're, it's your health and you're intentional and you plan and you know exactly what you're going to be doing, you execute better on that. And the same is true with your money. When you are able to say, hey, I'm going to be intentional with this, you get what you get. And that's the great thing is you're like, hey, if I'm going to plan this and I'm going to follow through, I know what the result is going to be. And that's what a budget is. It's really your roadmap for the month. So as a spender, I look at the budget as permission to spend.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I'm like, I don't see it as this negative thing that's holding me back. I'm like, no, this is telling me I get this much money for clothes every month. And I have the freedom to spend with that amount of money. And you really spend with less guilt and shame and questioning. When you budget, hey, here's what we're budgeting for food at the grocery store this month, which because of inflation is insane right now, but like, here's the amount of money. And when you go and you shop, you're like, okay, you have the freedom because there's guidelines and there's boundaries. And so it's a good thing. So that's one thing I want to say about the budget is people are like, oh, a budget. But really, if you look at it as permission to spend, it's a little bit more enjoyable. So one of the most successful budgets that you can do is a zero-based budget. So this is your income minus your expenses, including giving and saving, should equal zero. And so you want to do this every single month before the month begins. And so you're going to look at next, so you're looking, you're really planning ahead. So you're looking at next month and saying, okay, depending on if you're on commission or salary, you may have to kind of guesstimate, right? Okay, here's like what I think I'm going to make. And then you list everything out. And again, we teach you give first. And I always recommend 10%. But again, give a little until you can give a lot. Do what you can. But I really do. I really not pressure people to give, but I'm like, we can talk about that later. But I think it's such an important part of your financial world. So I would give a little, I would save some, and then you're going to look at all of your expenses. And with your expenses, you want to categorize what you need versus what you want. So your food, shelter, utilities, transportation are your four walls. These are the first four things in your expenses you want listed. And then it's everything else. So it's everything from, cell phone, insurance, clothes, miscellaneous. I say that every person in the family needs a line item. So like I have the Rachel line item. Winston has, my husband has a line item. We even go so far, our kids, each of our kids has a line item in the budget.
And so yeah, really, camp, clothes, you name it.
Like all of it.
Come up.
That's right. And so the goal is that you put dollar amounts next to all these categories and your income minus all of those categories equals zero. So every dollar that's coming in from your paycheck, you know exactly where it's going. You know, okay, this is the dollar amount that's happening. And so it takes about 3 months. So if you've never done a budget before, give yourself 3 months. So the first month is going to be a disaster. So just prepare yourself as you're doing it. If you're listening, you're thinking that girl is insane. Yes, I know. It's going to be crazy. So you're going to get frustrated and mad because you're spending way more on things than you were expecting, but you know, you kind of have to figure it out. And then the second month, it gets a little bit easier. And by the third month, it really starts to work. And so the budget too is it's ebb and flow. So like throughout the month, things may change. You may say, hey, we had this much for out to eat and we're not going out because life is crazy right now. So you can lower that category and then you'll have some extra money there that you can put somewhere else. So again, you can kind of change it throughout the month as life goes on. But it's really just that important that you know exactly where your paycheck is going. And that intentionality, again, it gives freedom because you have a plan, but it also allows you to win. So if you're wanting to get out of debt, if you're saving up for an emergency fund, if you're doing these, if you have these financial goals, it really helps you say, hey, let's cut out two or three of these categories that we don't need, that we're like, let's just say, let's sacrifice our lifestyle here to throw that extra money at paying off debt or whatever it may be. So again, it's really your roadmap.
Need to supercharge your hiring? You need a super hiring partner. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Find great talent faster through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed Data USA. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because it takes 10 minutes or less for most SMB employers to post a job, according to Indeed data. Indeed does the hard work for you. That instant match shows you candidates whose resumes fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Now start hiring today with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Kelly. This offer is good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/Kelly. Indeed.com/Kelly. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. I've been using Levels for months and been putting all of my clients on it because it's been an absolute game changer for me in understanding how my food affects my health and how their food choices are affecting their blood sugar balance. Now, Levels helps you see how your food affects your health by giving you real-time feedback on your diet using a continuous glucose monitor. Now, poor glucose control is associated with a number of chronic conditions, not just diabetes, but Alzheimer's, heart disease, stroke, and more. It affects your energy levels, your ability to control your weight, and even sexual function. And now Levels helps my clients take their Fab Four style of eating a step further to really dive into what works for them and what doesn't. Now, I personally started tracking my glucose in order to learn more about what was working and not working for me based on my own physiology. And that's the key here. That's where we really start to hone in and biohack what works for us and what doesn't. You may learn that that keto bread actually spikes your blood sugar pretty high, or that you can get away with more rice than you thought. Or maybe the apple takes you into a pre-diabetic state. It's really surprising when you start to dive into your own body's response to your food choices. That's where the magic happens. So if you want to better understand how your food affects your health and try a continuous glucose monitor yourself, all you have to do is go to levels.link/Kelly Levesque.
I'm a fan of a budget, if you can't tell.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important. I mean, it's almost like the come to Jesus talk. You're like, okay, I'm going to do the first month and you're going to be frustrated because you're like, why are we spending this much on Amazon? Well, it's way too easy to spend a lot on Amazon. So there you go. Or like the places I find personally, the places where I'll go and I'm like inspired, especially like in the nutrition space. If I head into like a health food store, I'm like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And then, you know, they're like Whole Foods, whole paycheck, or whatever the case may be. You know, there are places where it's a slippery slope for me. And like, I know it's dangerous, but when it comes to this budget, like it does, it feels like nutrition. It's kind of like if you're planning and you plan to make a certain number of meals and you plan to eat out a certain number of times, and you kind of have an idea of what you're going to do. You may hit the mark 80% of the time, but that's way better than what you would have done if you didn't even like plan for it. So how are you having people like physically do it? I like to get into the details. Is there a tool you use online? Do you use a piece of paper? Like, where is it in view? Like, and how are you checking in that you're actually like meeting your budget? How often?
It's a great question. So I use an app called Every Dollar.
Okay.
And so there's a free version just in the app store. And so I love it because it does all the math for you. So it already has listed out a bunch of categories. So if you're thinking through like, oh gosh, I don't even know where to start, it kind of gives you a basic budget and you can add or take out categories. And then as you're putting in dollar amounts, it takes away from your income up top. So again, it just helps on the math side, which is great. And then there's a premium version, which is what I use, and it actually connects to your bank account. So as you are, you know, going through with expenses, it comes into the app, which is fantastic. And then you can drag and drop the transaction in the category. And again, it does all the math for you. So right now I can click on, you know, my out to eat category, for instance, and it comes up and shows all the transactions of, you know, we did tzatziki's last night. So that'll come through and I'll drag and drop that and out to eat. And then I'll see how much is left and you can kind of budget from there. So this sounds so nerdy, Kelly, but it's just true. I check it probably every day because new transactions come in and it takes me 30 seconds just to drag and drop them into the categories. And then I know, and my husband has the same login information. So he has the app on his phone too. So if we have to change something, I mean, I'll text them like, hey, you know, Amelia's second grade school box is due or something. And I forgot to put it in. Let's do this, this, and this, you know, and we just sit there and talk it out and I just change it right on the app. So that's the easiest. That's what we use. But you can do Excel. You could do a sheet of paper. I mean, you can really do it, but tracking the transactions is what allows you to live day in and day out with it, to know where you're at and know, hey, we got to slow down here, or we can accelerate here and spend more because it's the end of the month and hey, we have more money in this category. We can use it if we want. So it really does help you when you're tracking the transactions. So that's big.
Oh, I'm so excited to try this. I feel like I used an app out of college because I was actually a business finance major first and then switched into nutrition, nature of human health and disease. But I like math and science. It's for me. So there was an app, I think it was called Mint or Mint.
Oh, yes, Mint. Yeah, totally. Mint.
And that was great because it linked to the bank accounts and everything like that. And I used that before I met my husband, Chris, and then kind of like got out of the habit because there wasn't an app and it wasn't easy to use. But I feel like that would be, I mean, it's better than probably scrolling Instagram or getting onto social media. You kind of feel like it's gamifying your budget and you're able to see where you can save or maybe like hit the brakes to be able to spend somewhere else. Yep. Like nutrition, finance is something that is really only taught to people who take finance as their, you know, as their undergrad education. I feel like in high school, it wasn't really even taught. Maybe it was balancing a checkbook. It was like one or two days of a math class, but not really. Like we're so deprived of this kind of information. I feel like when people graduate college, they're like, great, their company may give them a 401k, but if they're not a salaried employee or their commission or they're a 1099, like saving for taxes, saving for retirement, saving for your kids' college education. What's, you know, like a health spending HSA, like all of these like acronyms where you're like IRA, HSA, 401k. Oh my God. Like what's the hierarchy of savings? Like, do I just have a pool of money? Like what's the priority? Where do we start? Like, because savings is great, but how do we do that right?
No, it's a great question. Okay, so we have a plan called the baby step. So there's 7 steps that you go through, and it's really the plan that's helped. I mean, I think there's been like 30 million families or something that have gone through this, but it really does. It helps you do exactly what you're saying. It's, okay, what do I do next? What do I do first? So the very first baby step we teach is to get $1,000 savings. So great. It's your starter emergency fund. So it's the very first thing you do. You can put this in a traditional savings account. There's a savings account called a money market account that you can just get at your bank or online. You earn a little bit more interest on it, but the point of the emergency fund is more like insurance, not an investment. So we're not looking to make money. This is just your first savings. Now, for some people, they're like, okay, great. I have that already. I can just pull that out of my checking account. For some people, they're like, are you kidding? I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I don't have room to get $1,000.
Yeah.
It's really the hardest step and it's the easiest step. So it's the easiest step because again, it's $1,000. You can sell stuff, you can work extra, cut things out of your budget, and you just find that $1,000. But it's also the hardest step because I always tell people, you start to change your mindset. When you engage in a new plan, and if you say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do these 7 steps to become completely financially free and independent and have my money, you know, not control me, but I'm going to control it. It takes a level of thinking, okay, there's a change that has to occur in my mind and the way I view money. Because if you are not happy with your current financial situation, if you're stressed, if you're like, man, I wish this was better, that was better, then you have to change what you're doing. So this step into change really is big. And it's probably the same with nutrition. When you're like, okay, I'm not eating healthy. I'm not doing any of this. And I'm going to step into this world and change my life. I'm going to change the way I've been eating and the way I look at food. I mean, it's just a big deal. And you do, it's this mindset shift that you have to really push into. So that's what I encourage people. That first step, it's easy. It's $1,000 and you can do it, but it's also hard because you're about to say, all right, I'm going to engage in this process. So that's the first step. The second step is getting completely out of debt. You're going to do this by paying off your smallest debt first to your largest. Now, some people recommend paying off the highest interest rate first. But I like paying off the smallest debt first because personal finance is 80% behavior. It's only 20% head knowledge. So again, it's these quick wins. So much like nutrition, Kelly. This is why I love being on your podcast. Like there's so many parallels because if you can get these quick wins to know, okay, oh, I did that. Okay, I can do that. And so even if it's a $600 Nordstrom credit card that you just keep, you know, paying the minimum payment every month and you just pay it off.
Yeah.
And you cut it up and it's done. And you're like, okay. I did that. Like I paid off a debt. Okay. And you can push it aside and say, okay, let's go to the next one, the next one. And so that debt snowball, it takes on average 18 to 24 months we find for people. Now, the deeper you sacrifice your lifestyle and the more sacrifice that you put in, the faster you're going to get out. So So we talk to so many families and they say, okay, for, you know, for 20 months, we are doing nothing but working extra and putting money towards paying off this debt. So the more intense you are, the faster you're going to see progress. And that's the beautiful thing, because once you start doing it, you're like, oh, I can do this. And you actually see the light at the end of the tunnel. And when that student loan comes up, that's, you know, $60,000, you think, okay, we've paid off all these other debts. We have no other debts. Everything is going towards this and we can start climbing that hill. And so there's just something powerful too when you pay everything off, because your income is your largest wealth building tool. So when your income comes in, when your paycheck hits your checking account and you have it, when you have no payments and it's not going out 18 different directions for car loans and student loans and credit cards, like when it is all yours, you get to build wealth so fast. You get to be extremely generous and you actually sleep at night. You actually have such less stress when you don't owe anyone anything. So that second step is, it's probably the biggest life change we see with people, where they think this is impossible for me not to live with debt. And the moment you actually get out and you said, okay, I'm going to live below my means and we are going to pay this off, it just frees you up in so many ways, not just financially, but I think spiritually, emotionally, there's so much. And you have no payments. You have no payments. So that's that second.
Can I ask a question on this? Because it's interesting. I'm curious. I mean, your dad was an entrepreneur. You grew up in an entrepreneurial household. So was I. My dad was constantly paying things off, trying to pay our house off as fast as he could. He bought every car with cash. Like he was hardcore about it. I think it had to do with the fear of like his business was contract based. So like having a towing company and a storage facility, if he gets the CHP or the police contract, then he's getting the calls or the AAA contract, for example. But every couple of years, those would go up. And I remember one year when I was little, he didn't get the contract, his business, like they did an inspection of his tow trucks. He didn't get the contract. My mom was, you know, she had been educated to be a preschool teacher. She had to go back to work. But like, I think those times of like real stress, like your parents' bankruptcy, where you just go like, I have children, I have mouths to feed. Like I need to make sure that it's almost not out of a place of fear, but a little bit of like, this is actually scary if I don't have the means to take care of my family, and thus I'm not going to live in a place where I have debt. Now, what's interesting for me as an entrepreneur and seeing like friends who finance big houses or like, you know, they lease every car they have. And they're like, well, if the money's cheap, it makes more sense for me to save my money and like invest in other things. And there's these like two totally different ways of thinking about how to live. Like, can you tell me how you do it and like what advice you have for people? Because when you say get out of debt, are you talking about paying off houses, not leasing cars? I get the credit cards because I hate credit cards. And I mean, I use them, but I don't ever like to have a balance on them. But yeah. What's the benefit and like the negative side of this coin? And I'm sure you talk about this a lot, but
yeah, no, it's a good question.
Expertise.
Yeah. So there's the math side. Okay. So yes, money is cheap. And they would say, yeah, if I can borrow money at 3%, but put it in the market when market's healthy at 10%, I'm making a spread of 7%. So like, what's wrong with that? And so that's the hard part about, I think, when it comes to personal finance, again, people focus so much on the math. They focus so much on the math. And then you look at the statistics around the country, 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Close to 40% can't cover a $500 emergency in cash. Ugh. And so this idea of living in debt, and literally it's just, if that paycheck, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, you know, doesn't hit my account, I literally have bills to pay and I won't be able to pay them because I have no money. And so that's the state of where majority of people are. And so, yes, I think you can probably like figure out mathematically, well, this works here, this works here, this works here. But at the end of the day, when you have no debt, you have no risk. You have no risk. So when a pandemic hits, things that you never thought would happen in your whole life. And what if you're in, you know, so many industries were completely wiped out.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Okay. So then now that car lease that was, you know, that I thought I was getting a spread of 7 and being all smart. Now, crap, what am I going to do? I owe that. And now this and this. And life starts to happen. So that's where people don't factor in just life. There's just a level of risk that you take on when you take on debt. And that's the mathematical side. But too, Kelly, there's so much, and there's studies being done about the stress and anxiety level of our culture and how that relates to even money. And I think that we've been in this place and everything we've gone through the last 2.5 years as a culture. But even before that, I'm like, there is something that is tied to this idea that when you owe someone money, your body is telling you that you're not safe.
Yeah.
Because someone else owns my stuff. I don't own it. So when you go into debt, it's not yours. The bank owns it. They have the title to your car. I mean, all of this, right? And so there is a level of freedom that happens and you make different decisions when you don't owe someone money. Yeah. And I've seen people shift careers. I've seen them choose to stay at home to be with their kids. I mean, there's just a level of options that occur in your life because you have margin with your money. And it's the simple idea of just saying, okay, you know, I can still have nice stuff. I can still, you know, I still want to drive a great car and I still want to be able to, you know, enjoy and go shopping or travel, all of this, but I'm going to do it not at the expense of leveraging this whole industry of debt and all of these banks. And I'm going to do it on my own terms. And so it is a choice, yes, that I have made. And I teach people that, yeah, once you become debt free, you stay out of debt. Now paying off your house is later on in those baby steps we were talking about. So yeah, eventually paying off the mortgage is like the huge, you know, fireworks show of like, oh my gosh,
the crap.
Yeah, you literally have no payments, which is amazing. But that consumer debt, you know, there is just something that frees up in you. And if you're married too, you know, as a couple doing it together, I mean, I've seen so many marriages that have become so unified and the strength between the two saying, hey, we're going to lock arms and do this impossible task of what, you know, debt is so normal. Everyone thinks you have to have debt and everyone thinks you're just going to live with debt for the rest of your life. And so even if you're married, walking this journey with your spouse and you guys in it together, I think it helps your marriage because you're on the same team. I mean, there's just so many benefits to it. So yes, mathematically, to answer your question, could you figure out, okay, I can get this, this, and this if I'm, you know, money's cheap, all of that? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But also I think you're taking on risk and you're losing sleep at night.
Yeah. I mean, even just you talking about it, I'm like, I was raised in a family where my dad was always about, like I said, not having any debt. And he would always talk about how important it was to him. And so I grew up that way, but like, it just feels free thinking about it, like thinking about the day when I will pay off our house, like yeah. Thinking about the day, like, and how long will it take me and what will I do like to get there? It just feels free. Like it feels amazing. And I'm not even there yet, you know, but just imagining that feeling is already good. Okay. So we're putting $1,000 in the bank. We're paying off our debts. Where do we go next?
Yes. So then once all your debts paid off, but your house, you're going to save up 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund. So look at your budget and say, okay, you know, if we had no income coming in for 3 months, here's what we'd need to survive, or up to six. So that 3 to 6, whatever you want. If you're single and don't have kids, you know, you could probably lean more on that 3 month. I would say if you're a family, I would tend to lean to the 6 month just to be extra, extra safe. It feels just good having that money in the bank. And again, this emergency fund, it's not an investment. So you're not looking to make money off of it. It is strictly insurance that when something happens, because something will happen, life is going to happen, a car is going to break down, someone's going to change careers, someone, you know, things are going to happen. So that money is just your cushion between you and life. So that's step three. And then you're going to do steps 4, 5, and 6 at the same time. So baby step 4 is now funding retirement. So notice I did not talk about 401ks or Roth IRAs. You actually pause your retirement, which some people hate because they're like, I'm losing so much ground. You know, if I'm not putting money in retirement while I'm paying off debt, it's for a short amount of time. I'm not telling you to do this for 20 years. I'm telling you to do this, you know, for 3 years while you get out of debt and get your emergency fund. So baby step 4 is 15% of your income is going to go into retirement. So again, 401k, if you work for a nonprofit or you're a teacher, it's a 403b. So take that match and then open up a Roth IRA. And put money in that. And there's an income limit to that. You can do backdoor Roth. I mean, the investing world can get very confusing. So when you're throwing out all those terms, I'm like, yes, money can be very confusing. So in these specialized parts of your money, so this is taxes, insurance, investing, get a pro in your corner, get an investment professional to sit down with you and explain it. Because these people breathe this stuff in and out every single day. Like they are so specific. They're looking at the market, and find someone that has the heart of a teacher, not the heart of a salesman, because like anything in life, there are good people in this industry and there are nasty, sleazy people in this industry. So find someone that you trust and you're like, okay, I trust this person, have them explain and learn about investing and retirement, all of that. So that's baby step 4. If you have kids, start saving up for their college. So you can put money.
529.
Yes. And a 529, like you know this, Kelly, 529 or an ESA is an educational savings account. So put some money in for the kids, and then baby step six is paying off the house. So if you have extra money, you can throw it at the house. So we baby steps one through three at the beginning, I always say to just be intense, like have this intensity of sacrifice and get this done as fast as possible. Baby steps four through six, you can kind of let your foot off the gas, breathe, go on vacation, replace a car if you need to. I mean, this is a time just to kind of say, okay, we're going to do some things intentionally with our money, but we're also going to take a breath and enjoy life.
Thanks to our modern world, it's impossible to cut out stress. And the solution isn't to stop and avoid it. And sometimes it isn't even to add another thing to our to-do list to try and manage it, which is why I'm so excited about the revolutionary new approach to uplifting our mind, body, and soul. Just Thrive, my favorite sport-based probiotic company, has come out with a new revolutionary product called Just Calm. It's been clinically proven in multiple studies to help reduce perceived stress, balance cortisol, improve sleep quality, and even encourage focus and flow. It's unbeatable for stress management, and I have a whole podcast episode dedicated to the science behind it. What we know is a healthy gut isn't just critical for our immune system and our digestive health, but it's also one of the best ways to beat stress long-term. If you are interested in trying Just Calm and adding it to your Just Thrive probiotic, you can head to justthrivehealth.com and use the code BeWellByKelly at checkout for 15% off of both products. Or you can head to justthrivehealth.com/discount/BeWellByKelly to automatically apply that discount at checkout. It is an absolute game changer. Head back to the podcast episode where I interview Karan Krishna and Tina Anderson of Just Thrive about this revolutionary new product.
And then once your house is paid off, and on average, people are paying their houses off in 7 to 8 years who are doing the baby steps, they're paying it off. And then baby step seven is the last one, which is just to be generous and build a bunch of wealth. So you're going to just throw a lot of your money to investments. If you love real estate, you can invest in real estate at that point. You know, just open up a good mutual fund. And again, when you have no payments, your income comes in, it's like, okay, we can do a lot. You can save, you know, for other things if you want, but this is where the point is that, yeah, you're able just to build wealth and change. I mean, truly change your legacy. You change your family tree at that point.
Wow. Yeah. It is just, I'm like living in the state of like, okay, I'm in steps 4, 5, and 6 at the same time. Like it just, how great is that to get to a place where you're able to do that? And to your point of people, of when things happen, I mean, my best friend in life, it runs an event planning company. I mean, like L Women and Hollywood Awards and just these beautiful like awards party, like party tents for Mercedes-Benz. Like the pandemic shut her business down. There were no events. So you think about going from this like team of people, you've got all these people working for you, amazing office, and then all of a sudden crash. You never would think that that would happen, you know? And to that point, my first son, Sebastian, he was in the NICU at Chalk Hospital for 2 weeks. And that was, you know, thank God we had health insurance, which I don't know how many people don't have that. And it's so scary to think about, but you know, those bills were like $110,000, you know, without health insurance, that would have put me like so behind the eight ball for years and years and years. So to think about those moments and to think like, oh, it's never going to happen to me, or it's not, I mean, like it happens all the time. And I love that you have people create this safety blanket and this, you know, this parachute with a ripcord to say like, okay, I can pull this out as cash from a savings or a money market account without worrying like, oh, I have to sell it and it's a stock and it's, you know, if you need it, you need it.
That's right. Yeah. Keeping it liquid, right? That it's just there. And you make a good point too. And what's interesting through the pandemic and even today, as we sit here with inflation so high, you know, there's a recession that's kind of looming. The housing market is just wacky. I mean, all of this weird stuff. The people that I've heard from that are on baby steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, it's more of an inconvenience and it's annoying versus their whole world is crashing. Because when you live paycheck to paycheck and your expenses from food and gas go up, you know, $200 to $300, $400 a month, that will rock your world if you don't have that margin. And it's a scary place to be. Now you can get out of it. So if you're in that place, don't hear hopelessness. You know, you definitely can still do it for sure, but you're just in a different mindset. To your point, that when something happens, things that you never thought, whether it's a health scare or a recession, you know, you lose your job or something, you're just in a different place emotionally and financially when you have no payments and money in the bank.
Definitely. And I feel like it's these habits, just like nutrition, where you're like, it just became automatic. It's just what I do. It's just what we do, whether it's using Every Dollar, the app with your husband, or I'm sure you have other tips and we're going to get to those, but just getting in the habits of doing these things all the time. What habits are you teaching your kids and what habits are you in as a family? And do you recommend for people to really stick to their budget and to get serious about these 7 steps?
Yes, I would say talking about it is really important. And this can be really difficult because depending on the house you grew up in, even to the dynamic of your family today, whether you're single or married, I think bringing people in is really key. So if you're married, it's obviously going to be your spouse. If you're single, I would find a friend or a mentor, someone even older that you can actually share numbers with and that it's not awkward. So it may not be like your best friend that's awkward for you. So, but finding someone to bring in, because when you have 2 or 3 people kind of thinking about things, it just helps you in big decisions. It helps you in everyday expenses. Just have people bounce ideas off of. I think this can be a very isolating issue. Money can be, because again, there's a lot of embarrassment or guilt, a lot of shame, and people just don't want to talk about it. But I would say a habit that we have formed is talk about it, even when it's hard. And so that communication is going to help a ton. I would also say 2, your money problems are usually a symptom of other things. So I always talk about, okay, what is going on under the surface that's causing you to rack up tons of credit card debt because you just go shopping every time you're stressed? What is it that's causing, you know, this fear around money? And because of that fear, you just seem to like hoard everything and you go into a level of anxiety. Like whatever the thing is, the money issue that you see, what is going on underneath that surface? And so really digging in on that, I think is huge because again, even with marriages, for instance, and we talk so much about money and marriage here, but you know, if you have money fights, it's usually not about the money. Usually there's something else being triggered underneath that. So I would make it a habit of just keep asking why. Why am I doing this? Why am I choosing to spend here? Why am I saving here? Just keep asking yourself why. And I think you get to just a healthier spot as a person. And then out of that, healthier money habits come out of that. A habit, I mean, we kind of touched on giving, but it is a habit that we just have as a family. I think it's one of the most beautiful things you can do when you just live life with an open hand. There's something that money just can't buy. And it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's just true. I'm not against stuff. I love stuff. I love driving a nice car. We love going on a great vacation, going out to a nice restaurant, all of it. I love spending money and enjoying stuff. But there's a point that you become a rat in a wheel when you think that stuff is going to bring you lasting joy and fulfillment and all of it. It just doesn't. And you just end up, and I am guilty of this, of just running that Amazon race of, oh, I'll throw in those cute earrings because it just kind of gives me a little adrenaline and I think they're cute and it's going to give me something. And then you lose them, you know, 3 weeks later, you don't even know where they are. So stuff just does not fulfill you, but there's something about giving that does. There's just something in it in the human spirit that when you live your life with an open hand, there's just a joy and a selflessness that comes from that. So that's a habit we're in. Yeah. Talking about the budget, I think I kind of mentioned that already about the communication is big. So yeah, those are just a couple. And again, it's going to take time. And like you said, you're changing your mindset from one way to maybe something completely different. And so we have so many free resources. So like, yeah, you can buy the books and all that, but even just go to RamseySolutions.com. I mean, there are articles, there are podcasts, The Ramsey Show. I mean, we just talk about this stuff. So there's so much free content too, to kind of dive into and learn if you don't know. And we really try to keep everything cookies on the bottom shelf. So my prayer is that you, when you interact with us, that it's not this intimidating thing of like, oh my gosh, they're saying all these words. I have no clue what this means. I don't like this. That it is a very like, hey, here's what you do. Here's the plan. And here's what you're going to bump up against. Here's the struggles. Here's the victories. Here it all is.
So good. So what is, I mean, you just mentioned there are things that you like to spend money on. How do you determine what is important versus what is like frivolous spending or just kind of like trying to have joy attainment in spending or anything? Like, how do you differentiate what is truly like something you need versus something you want? And if you want it, when does it kind of get pushed over into the like, okay, I'm going to buy it bucket?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, your needs versus wants. I mean, I really look at those kind of black and white of like, okay, what do we really need to survive? We need our rent and mortgage paid. we need to keep the lights on, the water running, you know, your utilities. You need transportation to get to and from work. So whether it's public transportation, your car and gas, all of that, and food. You got to have food to survive. So really, we live in a world that we think there's a lot of needs, and there's really not at the end of the day. And you can cut some of those wants that you have thought are needs, you know, to, again, progress with the baby steps. And again, those sacrifices are for a short period of time. That's not forever. Right. So those are your needs. Yeah. And then your wants, then this is kind of a hard one. It's a little subjective. So I would ask myself a few questions. Number one, is it in the budget? You have the money to spend on the wants, the frivolous thing that you're like, oh, it's, you know, whether it's a new purse or whatever it is, do you have the money for it? I ask myself the question, if nobody sees this purchase, do I still want it?
Ooh, such a good question.
Because it gives me my motivation. And do you do the Enneagram, Kelly?
I did it a few years ago.
Okay. I'm an Enneagram 3. So we're the worst at this. This is like the unhealthy side of my personality. So I check myself to be like, okay, if nobody sees this, do I still want it? And sometimes the answer is yeah. You know, I do. I'm like, yeah, that's cute. And I can afford that. And yeah, I just want it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, nope, I'm longing for something else in this purchase. And so I do, I check myself. And even if I have the money, I won't make the purchase. I'm like, it's not, because it's feeding something unhealthy in me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. I mean, that's a great way to check if it is really something that you need to purchase. I mean, I feel like I'd be wearing like all Costco clothes and having like my infrared sauna and my Vitamix and my like red light panel that I still haven't purchased yet. Like I have some things that I'm like waiting on and like saving for. I mean, we're in the middle of like doing some renovations on a house. So we're like, this is crazy. Welcome to this is dinner at home. We aren't going to restaurants, and whatever you wanted is off the table.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. My husband and I, we built a house a few years ago. We moved in November of 19, right before everything happened. We barely made the cut. I know, but man, we had probably 2 years we had saved before that, but in about the 2 year period. Oh yeah. It was like, there's no life. We're just saying no to everything till we get this done. And then we can press play. We would make a list at night to be like, okay, once we move in and everything's good, what are we going to do again? What are we going to do? I was like, I'm going to get a massage every other week. Like, you know, I have like these dreams of like, here's what I'm going to go back and do. So yeah, it's kind of a touch and go in life with that. But I think it's good. And I kind of think it's healthy to pull back too on spending. If you have the margin, just to say, I don't need it.
Yeah. And it's definitely like a pressure cooker. I mean, if anyone's ever done a renovation, they're like, here's your budget. And then they're like, here's your change orders. Here's the real price. And then even if you ask your friends, like, yeah, in ballpark, you know, no one wants to tell you the real price of like what they spend on renovations. And then if you, you know, especially in a recession right now, they're like, your lumber cost for that one change was X. And now it's 3 times that. And I'm like, so we're not putting the house back together. We're going to do this a lot slower than I had anticipated. And be like, when are you moving into your new house? And I'm like, when lumber isn't as expensive as it is, it makes it tough. So, but my husband and I have a running joke that the new house will fix everything. Cause he's like, it's true. Like we've had years of financial stress. I mean, you probably don't know our story, but my husband was an attorney and I was in cancer and genetics. And then I started my company and he was inspired about like following your dreams and passions and was like, I want to write a screenplay. I don't want to be an attorney. And I said, great, I'll give you a year to do that. And so then I like took on our as the breadwinner and the only income in the house, like our apartment at the time, his law school loans. And we like sold a car to like just have an emergency fund. Actually, it's funny that you say that. Like I had this Volvo SUV and we sold it and we got a Toyota Tacoma from like 10 years prior from my dad's tow yard. Cause people like, you know, get their cars towed and depending on their situation, can't get it back sometimes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
My dad sells these cars from the yard. And so I like bought it at a lien sale at my dad's tow yard. Just Chris and I, one car, weird wires coming out of the dashboard. You know what? Like, it's like in those moments when I look back, it's like always these times where you're like, wow, this is there's a pressure. You're in the pressure cooker of like, it's a little tight. It's a really like not a comfortable situation, but we're going to get through it and we're going to pull back to get through it. And then once you get out of it, you're like, wow, remember that one time we had one car and Chris would ride the bus to like meetings off of like Century City after being like a corporate mergers and acquisitions attorney, you know, for almost 7 years.
That says a lot about y'all though, because a lot of people stepping back is one of the hardest things. Like we're talking about sacrificing lifestyle, for people to go backwards and to say no to themselves when they were so used to saying yes, it takes a level of character to be able to do that. So that's impressive. That's so impressive.
I mean, I think it's, I don't know. It's a gift that my parents gave me. Like, I can't take credit for it. I would just say like my dad's a really hardworking entrepreneur and they weren't frivolous with money and they weren't flashy with their money. And it was always they were always really down to earth. And I feel really blessed to have grown up in that because it did teach me that I could sell a car and like not have things to make my dreams happen. And I just feel really lucky that that was my example because I wouldn't have done it otherwise, you know? And yeah.
And the great thing is you have two cars now. You can always buy again, right? Like that's the thing too. You can go through a season of sacrifice, but it doesn't mean that's going to last for 40 years.
Yeah.
So you can get to the other side and say, okay, we can live again. But that season, yeah, that's awesome, Kelly. That's impressive.
So well, I mean, you're teaching this stuff, I think, because your dad figured it out and it's been something you lived and breathed your whole life. And it's just a blessing for you too, you know? So I'm so glad that you're here and sharing this stuff because it's a life changer for people. And you can make life changes if you have your money in check to decide to change careers, to decide to like follow your dreams, to save, to go on awesome vacations, to pay off your house, whatever it is that you love and want to do in your life. Right. Okay. Well, I feel like I want to ask just like a few more questions. I know I've taken up so much of your time today, but it's been priceless, pun intended. So I appreciate it. If someone were to go to your website and go to your resources, start with the 7, right? The 7 steps, super, super important. Get yourself a budget. Every dollar is the app to use. What other things or resources would you say are things that every family should go do if they're a family? Parents, young kids, where do they go?
Yes. So we have a 9-week or 9 lesson now, they've changed it a little bit, of a class called Financial Peace University. And so it's really kind of one of our flagship classes to go through because it covers the 7 steps that we talked about, but it also touches on real estate. It touches on insurance, touches on more of these kind of niche areas. And so this is really the thing that's huge. And so with this, we've learned a couple of things. Number one, getting the education is big. Number two, having a community around you. So pre-COVID, these were classes you would actually go to and they were all over the country, but now it's more of a digital experience, but you have a community around you, people that kind of go through it. And that's a big part, you know, even the AA model, when you look at change, you know, with something like that and having a group, the support group thing is just massive. And so that's been one of the biggest things that we have found. So in that class, you get that. And then you also get coaching. And so you'll have someone that's kind of leading that class, and then you'll be able to actually get with a financial coach to help on specific questions of your budget and what you need to do and all of that. So it's called Financial Peace University. So I would recommend that. And with that comes Every Dollar Plus, which is the app we're talking about too. So all of that's kind of in one. And so that's something to look into for sure. You know, when I talk to people, I mean, even just listening to the Ramsey Show, which is the big radio show now on podcast and YouTube. But just listening and learning. I mean, I think there's a level of just, you know, hearing real life people just like you in every situation, every income level, every debt level, just getting the inspiration of like, okay, I can do this. Not only get out of debt, we have debt-free screams every hour. So people will call in and they, you know, they tell their story of how they got out of debt, how they did that baby step too. But you also just get questions. So we get everything from relational questions to very specific investing questions to very basic budgeting questions, all of it. So that's kind of a fun thing that's free too that you can plug into.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to put links to all of that in the show notes today. I'm so thankful for you being here, Rachel, and for everything that you put out online and on your show. People need to be talking about this. We need to be teaching it in school. Children need to be given the ability to have independence, to earn commission, not just be given an allowance, to really learn about money by living with it and experiencing it and earning it and spending it and making mistakes and falling down and getting back up before they end up becoming adults with a large debt.
Yeah.
So important. Well, thank you for everything that you do and for being here, for donating your time. It was such a pleasure to, you're exactly who I thought you'd be, just such a bright light and so positive. So thank you for all that you do.
Oh, thank you, Kelly. Thanks for having me on. Seriously, I really appreciate it. And all the stuff you do. I love you as much as you were talking about my Instagram. I love yours. I love watching all the stuff. I'm like, oh, this is so good. It's so good.
Thank you, girl. I appreciate it. Well, this is going to change lives for sure. So thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you for listening to Be Well by Kelly. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at bewellbykelly.com and follow me on Instagram at bewellbykelly. I would love if you picked up my books, Body Love and Body Love Every Day. They're sold on Amazon and at all major booksellers.